Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue. Hello, welcome to the programme which answers your questions about families and relationships.
How would you cope if you found a copy of Men Only under your son's mattress?
How would you cope if you found a copy of What Caravan?
And what if you found a note saying, Dear Dad, help yourself, but they're not as good as the ones under your mattress?
In part two, we'll be meeting the widow of a man who donated his body to science.
Sadly, it was returned to her with a note saying, This isn't quite what we're looking for, but do keep sending them in.
Coming up later, we ask, why do health experts keep changing their minds?
But first, smoking. And new research suggests that it could be good for you. Here's our resident medical expert, Dr. Hoops.
Yes, Mike, the latest research shows that moderate smoking reduces the risk of lung cancer. And the former Class A drug heroin can actually lower your cholesterol. So from now on, heroin will be added to tap water instead of fluoride, which we now know is, of course, a deadly poison.
And apparently, kids, you should never, ever look left or right when crossing the road.
That's right, Mike. It's now believed to be safer just to run across whenever the ice cream van comes by. In fact, scientists have now admitted that the safest people of all are smokers who use heroin and crack and then run across the road without looking in order to shelter under a tree during a thunderstorm whilst having unprotected sex with a promiscuous stranger.
And now our first topic today is commitment. The difficulties and dilemmas facing couples who decide to spend the rest of their lives together. It's a sad fact that one in three marriages break up.
But one in two divorcees remarry.
And five out of seven of them remarry single people.
And two out of three remarried divorcees marry after divorcing single people. They remarry before divorcing single married divorcees.
But for some couples, it's not that simple.
The problem with commitment is that many people, having chosen to stay with one person forever, immediately start to fancy everyone else in the world.
This is because everyone else in the world is now forbidden to them. So the day after you move in with someone for life, the old lady who feeds the ducks suddenly seems to have a cheeky smile and a nice pair of ankles.
And the neighbour with the pot belly and builder's bum suddenly has a magnetism you were blind to before.
Couples might be far less keen on commitment if the marriage vows gave them a more accurate picture of things to come.
Do you, Samuel Paul Evans, promise to be faithful to Sarah for the rest of your life?
I do.
Absolutely faithful?
I do.
That means never, ever sleeping with anybody else.
I know.
Not this year, not next year, nor the year after that. You will never, ever, ever experience that excitement of the chance liaison.
I know.
The unique chemistry that happens when two people explore each other's bodies for the first time. The almost overpowering sexual intensity. The glorious fireworks inside when you caress uncharted flesh. Gone. Gone. Forever.
I know, I know.
Never, never, never. And I mean never. As in N-E-V-E-R. At no time in the future will it ever happen. You'll have to say no to sex even when it's handed to you on a plate.
I know.
By an absolute ravishing beauty. You'll have to say no, sorry, no can do. Hop it, love, I'm committed. And watch as her gorgeous pouting lips quiver with disappointment. Her generous breasts heave with unfulfilled lust.
I still want to go ahead. Our love can conquer base sexuality. What Sarah and I share is far, far stronger than lust.
Very well. And do you, Sarah, promise to do the same?
Not bloody likely.
Sarah!
And finally, would you, Sarah, like to come back to my place afterwards?
It's often men who are accused of being unable to commit themselves.
But there are men who, despite the ups and downs, the disappointments and humiliations, have managed to remain loyal all their lives.
But apart from Fulham supporters, it's usually women who are the ones to demand long-term involvement.
And it's now feared that in some cases women have become commitment junkies, seeking commitment at every opportunity.
Can I help you, sir?
I'd like a granary loaf, please.
A granary, that's 70 pence, please.
There we are. Thanks very much. Bye now.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Was that it? You're just going to go now?
Well, I've got everything I want, thanks.
I think we need to talk.
What about?
Well, us. How do you see us? I mean, doesn't what we've shared mean anything to you?
I'm not quite with you.
You know, what about the future? I mean, where do we go from here? I want to know where we stand. You know, how do you feel about me?
Well, you're a baker's assistant, and I've just bought some bread from you, and that's it, really.
Oh, so you just see me as someone to satisfy your appetite for bread, is that it? Look, I haven't time to wait while you make up your mind, you know. If you're not mature enough to make a decision, then let's just call it quits.
All right, I'll go to Sainsbury's.
Yeah, you choke on it! God, men are bastards.
You know, Sue, it has to be said that you women do try to put the pressure on us guys. I mean, look at my son, David. I mean, he's been seeing this girl for barely 18 months, and they've only had the one child. And next thing you know, she starts getting all serious on him.
Not to worry, Mike. It's probably just postnatal depression.
Yes, it has hit him pretty badly. Anyway, commitment.
Research shows that the people who find commitment hardest of all are men aged about 39 living with a wife and kids.
Family men who really want to have an affair but haven't quite got the nerve.
Can I get you another drink?
I'm fine, thanks. So, tell me about yourself. Where do you live?
Kilburn.
Oh, right. Do you live alone?
No, I share the house.
Oh. Who with?
Oh, some other people.
Who?
That's a lovely pair of curtains, isn't it?
Are they friends?
Yeah, I wouldn't call them friends.
Right. Right, I'd have thought a handsome man like you would be snapped up by now.
Yeah. Well, I'm not actually completely single.
Oh, you've got a girlfriend. What a pity.
Well, ish. I mean, I've got friends who are women and women who are friends and men, friends and women. I mean,
so no one special then?
Yeah, the Pelmets are nice too, aren't they?
Look, are you actually in a committed relationship?
Me? It's kind of informally committed, but very, very sort of...
I know, it's an open relationship.
That's it, you got it. I mean, yeah, we both, it's very, very open.
So, she doesn't mind if you,
Well, there's a snag in that, she doesn't know it's open.
So, it isn't open?
It's not exactly open, no. It's definitely a jar.
A jar?
Well, more closed, but unlocked.
So you're still free to...
Ish. I mean, it's more locked, but I know where the key is, if you know what I mean.
Actually, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
No, no.
Unless you're simply saying that both of you have affairs.
Ish.
Yes, in which case you already know about the fling that your wife's having with my husband.
You know, sir, it's all very easy to knock marriage these days, but in spite of everything, I still believe in the sanctity of the ceremony. You know, my wedding was quite unique. Something I'll always cherish.
What? All of them, or...?
Yeah, there are only two, so...
I thought...
Right, I don't count the first one. She was from County Cork.
Sorry?
I was just a lad, a student travelling around the world in the 60s. I met this convent girl in Ireland, and she fell deeply in love with me. And I naturally assumed she was on the pill.
This Irish convent girl.
Yeah, well, I was very naive, Sue, and very, very...
Randy.
Young.
So you decided to marry her?
Yes. And not exactly decided. As a matter of fact, it was her brothers who came up with the idea.
Brothers?
Yeah, the five O'Connell brothers.
Not the O'Connell Five.
Yeah, they seem to think that a nice traditional wedding would be a splendid idea. You know, Sue, for all that, it was a wonderful marriage. That marriage worked. I mean, looking back, they were two of the happiest months of my life. Anyway, commitment.
Millions of couples still choose to express their commitment by getting married.
Since friends are invited to weddings, there's a growing demand that they should also attend some of the other, less glamorous stages in a marriage.
We are gathered here today to mark the growing apart of Anne and Derek. The unhappy couple are here before God to embark on the slippery slope. Do you, Derek Stevens, promise to sit in stony silence in front of the television every night, right into the small hours?
I do.
Even if it means watching James Whale?
I do.
And do you promise that every day you'll have brewer's droop? Even first thing in the morning?
I do.
And do you, Anne Hitchens, promise to phone your best friend and keep saying, Derek and I just don't seem to talk anymore and we have nothing in common?
I do.
And when she says, leave him, then will you say, I can't, but then again maybe I should, oh, I don't know, I'm so confused, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
I will.
And do you also promise that your period will last 28 days a month? And on the remaining days you'll have thrush? Excellent. Now, if anyone knows of any reason why these two people should not get the hell out of each other's lives, speak now, or forever have them bickering at your dinner parties. Would the congregation please stand and reclaim your wedding presents?
Nowadays, many couples prefer to live together rather than marry. It's thought that the first couple ever to live together were Adam and Eve.
They decided against marriage because when you're in paradise, a honeymoon in Bognor isn't that exciting.
But whether it's right or wrong, living together can lead to problems when deciding whose name the children should take.
You know, sir, I'm often criticized for being a little old-fashioned, but what's so wrong with the kids adopting the man's name?
So Pamela was quite happy for the kids to be called Meadows after you.
Well, in my case, it's a long story. You see, Meadows isn't my real surname, and Pamela felt it. You see, when I went into broadcasting, I changed my name.
Oh, I remember now. Your real name's,
It's not important.
It's kind of embarrassing.
I'm not embarrassed about my own name, Sue. It's a proud family name going back generations, centuries.
Was it Rubottom?
No.
Crapper?
No.
Noblet?
Okay, you've had your fun, Sue. Let's not get carried away.
Seaman.
Look, I don't mind the occasional ribbing, sir. I have a great sense of humour. Well, I was teased a lot at school, so if you don't mind.
Sorry.
Right. Now, it's a curious fact that when a lifelong commitment does end in divorce, it's often hardest on the man.
Psychologists have studied this phenomenon over many years and have reached the conclusion that this inability to cope is all down to one crucial factor. Men aren't used to buying their own underwear.
Can I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like a pound of apples and some potatoes, please.
Pound of apples, potatoes, anything else?
Oh, and a large pair of underpants.
I'm afraid we don't have any pants, sir. You've come to the wrong shop.
Oh, will you be getting any in?
You're recently separated, didn't you?
No, sorry to bother you.
Hello, Tony.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Still looking for some pants?
Yeah. No luck so far. How about you?
Nothing. You tried the fishmongers?
Yes, and Yellow Pages. I'm thinking of advertising.
Really?
Divorced man, 33 waist, seeks underpants. Any age of condition, must be machine washable.
Yeah. I think I might phone my mum and ask her to get me some.
Oh, Bob, don't give in. You can do it. Oh, look, there's a shop.
Blimey, the underpants shop. Do you think it sells underpants?
Have we got enough money on us? I've only got £500.
Well, let's give it a go.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
A pair of underpants, please.
What kind would you like?
Well, the kind you put on under your trousers in the morning.
But what style?
Oh, the biggest, please. As long as they're fresh.
How many?
A pound and a half.
Just some of the difficulties men face after divorce. And now, on life, death and sex, let's take a...
Nickerson?
Sue.
Willie.
Look, I've never been a great one for toilet humour, Sue. It's so easy, isn't it?
Sorry. Was it snot warbler?
Sue, this is puerile nonsense now, please.
Buttocks?
Just leave it, okay? Coming up, health and beauty tips.
Does your husband want your breasts to look bigger? We tell you about a simple operation to put a magnifying glass in his eyes.
Later on, I'll be meeting the pizza delivery boy whose acne was so bad that one of his customers ate his face and tipped the pizza.
And ladies, you too could have a face like Anita Roddick. I'll be showing you how to avoid it.
And now it's time for our missing persons file.
Every week on Life, Death and Sex, we ask for your help to put people in touch with their long-lost relatives. And last week, you may remember, we featured Arnold Chester, who hadn't seen his brother for 30 years.
Welcome back, Arnold.
Charlie! Where's Charlie?
Well, Arnold, I'm delighted to say that we found Charlie living in Australia.
Oh, Charlie! Charlie!
So we put him on a plane and brought him to the studio, where unfortunately he tripped over an electric cable, banged his head and sadly passed away.
Oh!
So we're going to move swiftly along to Mrs. Mavis Harper. Now, Mavis, 10 years ago this very week, your husband walked out of the door on his way to the shops to get a new extension for your vacuum cleaner, and that was the last you saw of him.
That's right, yeah. Mm.
But you never gave up hope.
No.
And Mavis, here is the duster fitting you thought you'd never see.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, another emotional reunion. And now we have a young lady who needs your help. Mary, do have a seat.
Thanks.
Now, Mary, you've been looking for your father for nearly 20 years.
That's right.
A father who walked out when you were just an infant and left you and your mother in poverty.
Mary, tell us as much as you can.
Well, my mother said she met him at the gates of her convent. Apparently, my dad used to hang around there offering cigarettes to the girls.
Are there any other clues to his identity?
Yes, I think that's enough clues for now, sir.
Can you tell us his name, Mary?
His name was Michael. Michael Smallcock.
Very unusual name, don't you think, Mike?
There must be millions of Michael Smallcocks. Oh, I know several myself. They're everywhere, sir.
Mary, do you have a personal message for your father?
I'll never give up looking for you, Dad. And now that my five uncles have been released as part of the peace process, they're really keen to help me. Oh.
Just a minute. Did you say Michael Smallcock?
Yes.
Why, how could I be so stupid? Well, that's my real name. Yes. Mary.
Dad?
Well, this is an historic moment in broadcasting history. Sadly, we must move on. Here's 50 quid, now off you go. Right, now, our final topic tonight is aging.
Old age can affect different people in different ways.
But it mostly affects the elderly.
Unfortunately, the problems of growing old are often dismissed by the young, who believe that old age will never happen to them.
But youngsters might take it more seriously if it came at them suddenly and without warning.
And it's Linford Christie! He's on for the world record! He's going at a tremendous speed! But oh my goodness, what's happening here? He's slowing down and he's walking! Linford Christie has been given a Zimmer frame, and now he's off the track, he's heading for the park bench, and oh no, he's feeding the ducks! And this is tragic, the champion sprinter is now sifting through the bins, and the stewards have officially confirmed that Linford Christie is old!
Linford, what happened?
Hello.
You were doing so well, and all of a sudden, you were old.
That's right, David, but I've had a good innings. It's time to put my feet up and let someone younger have a go. Oh, look, an old shoe.
Getting old is a difficult but inevitable process. For many of us, encroaching age can cause stress and unhappiness, often because of prejudice.
To tell us more, here's Ivy Plumstead, who is chair of the National Campaign for Age Equality. Now, Ivy, you're 73 years young, but you're still going strong running this campaign.
Yes, we're fighting for an end to patronising attitudes to elderly people.
Isn't that marvellous?
Mrs. Plumstead, how much prejudice does your campaign encounter?
Before you answer, Ivy, a little spy tells me you're just coming up to your silver wedding anniversary. Is that right?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, Ivy, let me hold your hand. Because I think you're going to be in for a shock. For all your hard work, for all those senior citizen folk, I'm going to present you with the Mike and Sue Golden Oldie Rosette.
I don't want a sodding rosette.
I think you're confused, love.
Well, let's move on.
You old croak.
What did you say?
Lovely day.
He called me an old croak.
Well, you are an old croak. Don't hit me. Security!
Now, before we return to the subject of ageing, it's time for your letters and calls.
And we've had a letter from a very irate Mr. Arnold Cooper. Dear Mike and Sue, I am very, very angry.
Yes?
Well, that's all it says.
Well, thanks for letting us know, Mr. Cooper.
Have we had any calls from normal people, Sue?
Indeed, Mike. In fact, ever since you revealed your real name, we've been inundated with faxes from all over the globe.
It's always nice to rekindle old friendships.
Yes, like this one here. Dear Mike, although I have long since retired as treasurer for Help the Aged, I spent the last years of my working life trying to trace one of our most diligent and conscientious young collectors, a Mr. Michael Smallcock.
Well, this is embarrassing, sir. I simply did my best for those who risked their lives so that we might live in freedom. Well, I'm no saint.
He wanted to know what you did with the donations. He goes on.
You know, Sue, dementia is such a tragic condition. Now, we're talking about aging and the sympathetic treatment of the elderly.
Demographers at Reading University have established that the British population is aging more rapidly than ever. If trends continue, by the year 2030, the average British family will consist of 8 grannies.
Does anyone fancy a nice cup of tea?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I might go down the jumble sale later. Anyone fancy coming?
Oh, yes, please.
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 I fancy doing something ever so slightly out of the ordinary later. Would anyone like to join in?
Oh, no, thanks.
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 What was the question?
Sadly, human beings are unable to conceal the signs of aging, whereas animals like cats and dogs are seldom troubled by wrinkles or receding hair.
And you rarely see a rhinoceros stop in the middle of a charge in order to adjust his bifocals and cut out a coupon from Reader's Digest.
But old age doesn't affect everyone to the same degree. We're very privileged to have with us our very special guest. Harold Parker claims to be over 4,000 years old, which makes him one of Bournemouth's oldest residents.
I'm 4,083, you know.
So, Harold, what do you remember from your days as a youngster?
Oh, life was much better in them days. We made our own entertainment then, you see.
Singing round the campfire.
No, no, we didn't have fire when I was a lad. And yet you didn't have all these newfangled watchems and things either.
Electricity?
No, no. Wheels. Wheels. I can't be doing with wheels. Why don't they make wheels so that elderly people can understand them? I fought the Nazis, you know, and the Spanish, the French, the Americans, the Zulus, the French again, and the Romans, the French again, the Vikings, the Celts, the Barbarians, and Agag, the man with the big club. He was the most frightening of the lot. He was French and all. And then there's all these buildings. buildings they put up. The, what was it,
High-rise building.
Stonehenge. It's a bloody ugly great carbuncle. It's got no character. Slabs of stone. Where's the craftsmanship in that? I can't understand this new currency. What's it called?
Decimal?
No, money. I have to convert everything to bales of hay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Parker.
And the language young people use today. In my day, we only had one word. Ah!
What's the matter?
That was the word. And why? Why do we have to walk on two legs? Four was much quicker.
Yes, well, thank you very much.
Here, I'll tell you what. I remember when we had just one single cell each. It was tough, but we survived.
Thank you, Harold Park.
Amino acids, those were the days.
Many elderly people... Many elderly people, particularly women, are able to volunteer for work in charity shops.
That may seem all well and good, but in this disturbing report... Paul Kelly reveals that some of these innocent-looking old ladies are simply doing it in order to cream off all the best items themselves.
I'm standing outside the massive steel gates of a formidable mansion, which is guarded by two fierce-looking Dobermans. These are the headquarters of Mrs. Iris Thornton, London's top cardigan baron. Excuse me, sir, could I talk to Mrs. Thornton?
Are you buying or selling?
I'd like to know how she got hold of 60,000 used cardigans, 200 pairs of slacks, and some suits with a faint odour of dead person. All with a street value of £500,000.
Get him, Satan!
I've been brought here to the inner sanctum of the woman they call Mrs. Big.
Good evening, Mr. Kelly.
What happened to the cardies, Mrs. Thornton? What have you done with the purple shirts with round collars? And where are all those old Blue Peter annuals with John, Val and that other bloke?
So many questions. I have a question for you, young man. How would you like to be part of my empire? Join us.
Never!
Very well. Jessop, the panel.
Panel 6 rising now.
What's going on?
This is my latest creation. It is 1 mile high and weighs 30 tons. It's the largest, most hideous cardigan the world has ever seen, huh?
But why, Mrs. Thornton?
Patience. It is time to show you this.
A Tupperware toast rack!
Yes, Mr. Kelly. And a whole box of Top of the Pops albums with girls in hot pants on the cover.
But why?
Don't you understand yet, Mr. Kelly? I possess some of the most revolting objects that man ever created.
And if you don't get what you want...
I will release it all! Such a pity you won't be there to see it. Play the Peters and Lee single!
No! Not Peters and Lee! No!
Goodbye, Mr. K.
That's all from Life, Death and Sex this week.
Next week, we look at halitosis and meet a man who can't yawn without setting off next door's smoke alarm.
Plus, the ordinary garden carrot. Harmless vegetable or deadly poison.
Find out why it's a harmless vegetable, after all. I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue was written by Bill Dare. It starred Robert Duncan and Julia Hills with Roger Blake, Mark Kilmurray, Sally Phillips and Dan Strauss. Music was by Mark Burton and the producer was Pete Sinclair.